Generate is supporting my vision to improve the financial literacy of 100,000 Kiwis by sponsoring Keep the Change. Cheers, Generate. Head to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to find out more. Getting in the KiwiSaver fund that suits you and your situation is key to making sure you're maximising your investment. Generate are an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of long-term performance, and they can help you do exactly this. Their advisors can meet with you to talk about all your options when it comes to KiwiSaver to help you decide what's best for you. Too many people never get KiwiSaver advice, but not you. Go to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to book a no-obligation chat with a Generate advisor. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited. And of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns.
I said her from the city, so her got to be witty, witty. She said him from the country, so him got to be funky, funky.
You are locked and loaded to another episode of keepthechange.co.nz's Money Mail. Sorry, I had to have a quick cough there. Gee whiz, still battling a little bit of this sickness that's floating around anyway. We fight on week number 207. You know what that means, right? In the next week, that's week number 208. Now, given that there are one of these every week, if we divide 208 by 52 weeks, which is normally what's in a year, that is 4 years of Money Mail. But I don't think that's really how it works, because I think there's more than 52 Fridays in a year, something like that. I'm not very smart. We talked about that when we got to year three, I think. Anyway, we're getting close to 4 years, but there are 208 editions of Money Mail when we do next Friday's Money Mail. Very consistent every single week. I've spoken about this. I would encourage you to find something that you can stay consistent with and see what it can do for your life as well. It might not even be 4 years. It might just be 4 months. Could be a year. Could be 6 months. 40 days, for instance. Consistency is an awesome skill to try and get on top of. And shit, it is hard. There are some times where I'm like, fuck, I really got to go catch up on that. You know, it's Saturday morning, for instance. For me, it's now the afternoon. I had to record two of these today to catch back up. And, you know, last night I'm kind of like, oh, tomorrow is a work day for me because I need to get these things off my plate, because I don't like to get too far behind on things. But you would have heard me talk about this in other episodes as well, but sometimes you're sprinting in life, sometimes you're running, sometimes you're jogging, sometimes you're walking, and you just have to enjoy the speed that you're at when you're in that, because you can't always be in one of those, I don't think. And sometimes when you're jogging, you want to do more and you want to be sprinting. And other times when you're sprinting, you're like, gee, it'd be good to just to catch up for some air. But, you know, it's actually really enjoyable for me to have nothing on this weekend, to catch up on some of this stuff, to get my head into it, create some more content and think to what's coming next, and just not have the pressure of needing to rush to something or you know, a function or an event that I'm hosting, and just be in that mode. So I'm sort of really in it at the moment, which is a nice feeling. So week number 207, I wrote this one whilst flying down to Queenstown on the way to the wedding. Now I get an idea in my head, and basically I pull out my notes app on my phone and I start writing down what I think my brain is thinking about. And I just jot those down line by line, and that's why I write line by line if you read the content that I do, because I kind of write in sentences and then I can come back to them and be like, what are the other sentences you need to write that make that sentence make more sense? So that's what's worked for me. And then I might get out my computer and really go a bit deeper, and I can type faster than on my phone. And that's basically how each Money Mail starts. I get a bit of an idea about something and I write down some ideas, and then it might be, you know, I might put heaps of space and I'll write some more lines down the bottom because that's something I might go into in that Money Mail. And then I might start copying and pasting lines and moving them around. But that has been a flow that I guess has worked for me to create this content and keep it going. So just a bit of an insight there to help you think about, you know, it might not be writing for you, but you know, you do, to stay consistent, you've got to find things that work for you. It's not like I just, you know, someone else, for instance, might just go, right, I'm going to write my money mail, if that's what they were doing, at 8 a.m. on a Monday, every Monday. That's what they would do. But that's not me. I can't do that. Sometimes I can write four of these back to back to back to back because I've just got the ideas and I'm flowing. Other times I'm like, holy shit, man, Friday's coming around. What am I going to talk about? Normally that was it. I was sort of writing on the Wednesday to punch it out on the Friday back in the early days. Now I've kind of gotten better at just writing as I go, and I've had to learn and I've had to find what works best for me. So that's the beauty of trying to have a crack at something over time. You might not even know how to do it at the start, but as you go, you'll find ways to get better at it. Anyway, let's go. The upsell economy. Everywhere you look, you are being asked to spend a little bit extra. Skilled professionals who work in the field of shaking your pocket for the last dollar are designing ways to get you to willingly hand it over. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, here are some examples. Do you want an extra seat next to you on the plane? That sky couch, maybe. How about premium economy or business? Do you want sneaker cleaner for those new kicks? Do you want premium or faster postage? Why not add something to your Uber Eats order in the next 10 minutes and we'll even send you a notification to remind you, hey, the clock's ticking down, 9, 8 minutes, 53 seconds, you know. Are you sure you don't want to add something from a nearby store? Tipping is becoming a bit of a thing here in New Zealand. I notice when I go to pay for things now, this is Auckland, I don't know about the rest of the country where you're tuning in from, but I go to pay and it's like, would you like to add a tip? You know, that's very American. It doesn't happen here often. The difference in America, I think people get a very low wage over there. And so it is a big thing because the tips are what people rely on. Whereas in New Zealand, people get a minimum wage, for instance, and have a bit more money than an American, but they rely on tips, so not so much here. But we've sort of added tips in, which is an interesting thing to see popping up around Auckland and I'm sure the rest of the country too. You better get the batteries at the counter or the chocolate bar by the self-serve line if you're going to do your own groceries. Remember, a lot of things these days that you buy don't come with batteries anymore. You've got to buy them separately. Paywave surcharges in an increasingly cashless society. Cheers. Need to add an extra bag to your flight? Surely you need a rental car when you land. Help yourself to a discount with your next order as long as you place it within the next 2 weeks. You only need to click once to add this to your cart. Have you ever received an abandoned cart reminder in your email? Hey, you didn't buy this. Are you sure you don't want it? We've only got a few of these left. Get in quick. Have you seen the other shoppers liked these things popping up on your websites? What about the shirt to match the pants? How about the perfect red wine or beer to match the meal? Would you like our daily best buy? Hell, even if you can't afford all of these things, you can always tick them up. You want to put them on have now, worry about it later? Of course you can. So now that your brain is switched on to this, you'll see it more and more. So this is what I'm talking about when we're talking about upsells. Companies leverage upselling to enhance customer experience, increase average order value, increase their revenue and their margin, amongst other reasons. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, because this is something that I speak to my clients about with Next Advisory when we're doing business advice and discussing how they can increase their average order value. So this is how I know some of this stuff too, because I'm not only seeing it out there in the real world, but I'm talking with clients about, okay, what are you doing? Because as an example, let's use the shoe place, for instance. If they spend money on marketing to get you in the door and you go and buy the shoes, which are what you need, but then you also buy the sneaker cleaner, which you didn't intend to buy and you don't need, but you kind of go, well, I'm excited by this and look, it's $20 compared to my $200 shoes. You know, price. I'm thinking about price here. What's another 20 bucks? Who cares? Like, I'll add it on, but that only cost them a dollar to create that sneaker cleaner because it's probably just water with one ingredient in it. And we think, yeah, okay, well, I better get some. Does anyone even know what's in sneaker cleaner? No, I've no idea, but someone smart will. But anyway, let's say it cost them a dollar to create 20 bucks to sell. Massive, massive, massive margin in there. But what it does is it increases the average order value. So it's not just the shoes. And it means that it also makes their marketing more efficient, right? So they are recovering some of that marketing spend to get us through the front door to be able to buy the shoes that we actually needed, but then we end up taking other things away as well. Some sort of bring it back guarantee and some different laces or whatever. Or, you know, do you want a second pair and discounted to buy it by this amount? There's obviously enough margin in those products to allow them to do that. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with upselling, but I think individually we need to be aware of this in the world that we live in, because it's so easy to spend in this consumer society. It's so easy to YOLO, to you got to enjoy life, to live in the moment. These are all sayings you didn't even fucking make up, but you can resonate with them, can't you? Because I do. I get it. YOLO, enjoy life, live in the moment. But I didn't make any of that shit up, but I somehow find myself saying it at times. So it gets planted in us, right? So I think we're all searching for that balance between living for today and preparing for tomorrow. And it can be hard to save and invest, and it's boring compared to all the sexy shit that we can do when we spend and we tick up things and add in more debt. So I'm all for the upsell, but I'm also all for consistent investing, saving, and good financial habit stacking. If I'm not doing those first, i.e. consistent investing, saving, and good habit stacking, I'm trying to zip my bloody pockets closed instead of having them willingly pickpocketed, aren't I? You have to live, but you also have to stack and invest. Otherwise, what's going to happen? You're going to consume a lot of shit. You're probably going to throw a lot of it out. You're going to end up with no money. And then you're going to rely on other taxpayers to look after you. If that's what you want to do, all good. Not for me to say that you shouldn't do that, but that is the path that you're on. Whether you like it or not, who is going to look after you? If you want to retire, for instance, or maybe you're like, nah, fuck, man, I'm just going to work until I die. That's fine. You know, we're all doing life differently. But if we just YOLO, you got to live, I'm enjoying life, you know, do you really want to die in debt? That's, again, an individual decision. But if you are YOLOing, enjoying life, and I've got the balance and I'm living in the moment and all that stuff, where does that lead you? What path does that lead you to? Because don't complain when you get to the end of that cul-de-sac and realize, fuck, she's a dead end down here. Where's this? Where's that? Why can't I have this and that? How come they have that over there in that cul-de-sac? No, no, no. You chose to keep going down that path to end up in that cul-de-sac. So you can't complain down there. That's what I didn't want to do. I wanted to figure out, okay, how can I look after myself, give more, contribute more, add more, still consume some stuff, but stack. So I'm thinking about putting good habits in place so that I can do a bit of both. And yeah, it sucks. You know, maybe I would like to just buy some more shit, have a flash a car, do some random shit, jump on the plane and go on a holiday next week if I feel like it. But I'm not YOLOing and all that stuff all the time. You know, I need every pay week, pay cycle, I have to have some automatic payments going aside. So I do this. You know, I stack and invest as soon as I get paid, not at the end of the week, not at the end of the month, not at the end of the pay cycle. I do it as soon as I get money coming in, and I have automatic payments set up so that I can't forget, because the brain, it's got heaps going on. You're getting smacked up by the next reel to watch online or whatever, and you're going to forget, like, oh, did I save last week? Oh, I can't remember. Like, I'll ask you now, did you save any money 3 weeks ago? Probably, maybe not, don't know. You're going to have to log in and check, unless you're the person who has an automatic saving. You're like, well, yes, I know I did because I have that set up. So, you know, make it easier for yourself by setting up automatic payments and systemizing and making things so that you don't have to think about them each week. Get technology to do it for you. So when you get into a rhythm of this, it can become quite fun and rewarding as well. Much like I think we're searching for when we do go shopping and go consuming and do go, you know, paying for upsells. Strangely, and probably because I am a bit strange, I get a kick out of voluntarily putting more money into my KiwiSaver than I need to. So I don't just pay the 3%. I kick in more each week, and I have an automatic payment that pumps cash into that, and I've been doing that for some time. Now, that's a lever that I can turn off or on when I want to, or should my budget determine that I can't do that. But for now, I can afford to, so I am doing that because I am preparing for the future. I am habit stacking, and I'm building a base there. Now, I know that not everyone will agree with that, but I know that I can't touch it for another 30 bloody years. That's a strange feeling when you send your money into battle for the next 30 years before you reconnect with it. Now, look at the language that I use there. This just shows you how littered and strange I am. You know, I look at that money that I pay each week. I'm like, go on, off you go, you're off to battle. Win the battle for me, and we'll see you in 30 years. Who does that with their money? But that's how I think about it. I'm like, shit, man, I'm never going to see that cash again for 30 years if I even make it there. If not, someone else go and get the benefit of it. But, you know, as soon as I pay that out of my account, there's no like, oh, shit, I might try and get that back. For me, that's a decision. It's gone. It's deployed. It's in the battle. It's in the battle of the world for the next 30 years, trying to snowball, grow, pay dividends. And I'm cool with that. And every now and then as well, I'll put a lump sum voluntary contribution into my KiwiSaver. And I hit send. I'm like, fucking, there it goes. That's into battle as well. Not going to see those bastards for another 30 years. Off you go, dollars. And it's ammo to me, that money. And it's got to go out there and it's got to do its thing. And I'll reconnect with it. Sounds like it's like a long lost bloody partner or something, isn't it? Long lost pen pal. And I'll reconnect with that pen pal of cash in 30 years once I am past 65. Shit, I'm not going to be able to say 30 because I'm actually older than 35. Anyway, we'll have another reality check about age at some stage. But that is a strange but enjoyable feeling. I've taught myself to enjoy that. And I know that not everybody's going to be into that. It could be the same. You know, you might have some extra cash and you pay down your debt. Well, 24 hours later, it's like your life hasn't really changed. You've just got $1,000 less debt because, you know, you don't really get the benefit of that until all of the debt's cleared. And a client said to me recently, and they'll probably be listening to shout out because they said they listen to every episode, but it's like you're constantly failing until you've cleared your debt. But really, you should celebrate the fact that you might lump sum off of your debt because you're saving your future self from having to pay that because you're decreasing the time that it's going to take to clear that debt. But, you know, it doesn't feel that. It's probably more exciting to go and buy a new thing that you want and consume in the here and now and have that and enjoy it than it is to go, right, I'm going to pay another $1,000 off my mortgage. Bang, transfer, done, that's cleared. Cool. Hey, fuck, should I go on Facebook and post about it? Should I do like an Instagram post? Because, you know, like, does anyone care? Not sure. Like, life just carries on, right? And it can be like a little bit of a flat feeling, but you've got to get excited by that and be like, bang, you know, that's $1,000 that my future self doesn't have to pay if that's the thing you want to do. And it's going to mean less interest. It's going to mean a shorter loan time. What am I going to do with my cash in the future? And get excited about that sort of thing. So today's lesson is designed to get you thinking about where you can see the next upsell and pocket shake that is coming for you. Just have your eyes open to it, because with AI and stuff like that, I think it's going to increase even more. And maybe you do need the upsell, but maybe you don't. But just think about it. Because remember too that the investment platforms have to compete with this. So this being you and I getting bombarded with consumption encouragement, which is pulling us away from our invest save actions. That's why they're all big on trying to get us setting up automatic payments and things like that so that you do it consistently, because that's what's happening to you in the consumption world versus the investing world as well. It's like you're constantly getting bombarded to spend your cash. So investment platforms now have to make investing clean, easy, gamified, and to continually remind you of the importance of investing. That's why you'll get so many notifications and emails from those platforms, because they're basically like, well, shit, we want you doing good things for your future, but we're competing with the skincare, the clothing brand, the entertainment, the event that's like, hey, we're over here too. Give us your money. Don't worry about your future. Spend it now. YOLO. You got to have some balance in your life, man. Live for the now. You might not even make it to 65, bro. Why would you put money into a KiwiSaver, etc.? All of that stuff is combating these investment platforms. So you can see, you know, why they are having to try and stay front of mind for us as well, because it's not just about them trying to get bigger. They're trying to compete with other people coming for our cash. These big brands are doing the same to you and I to get us to hand over our cash. So who's going to win the battle? Do you think you're going to win it? Or do you think it's the companies with your data, with algorithms? You know, you probably don't even know how to spell algorithm or what one is, and they've got them trying to use them against us to spend more cash. I had to make sure algorithm, I think it's spelled right. I still don't even understand. I was watching something about Amazon from decades ago. I thought algorithms were a new thing. And Bezos' early days was starting an algorithm so that it could suggest other books that you might want to read and buy off of Amazon. I'm like, oh shit, this stuff's been here way longer and I'm only just learning how to spell it. Anyway, these companies, well, they got group data. They got AI so they could machine stuff even faster without people. They got knowledge of consumer buying behavior. They've got trend analysts, psychologists, marketers, and other resources. So these companies have got that and you and I have got us. Okay, who do you reckon is going to win that battle? Well, we both know the answer to that, right? Who is going to hand over the cash? Us. Who's going to get it? The companies. Well, then we might as well invest in some of those companies to hedge, right? So what I mean by that is if they're going to take our cash from us, why don't we invest into some of them too? Because We might not be able to build that stuff. We might not have data and algorithms and AI and stuff like that. But if they are investing in that because they are trying to get consumers to spend, well, then perhaps those are some good companies to invest in. They might be wrapped into an exchange-traded fund and we can get a group of those companies. Now, that is why so many people like investing into the S&P 500 because it's the 500 biggest companies of America, say. And what are they all trying to do? They're trying to get revenue and have less expenses than their revenue and therefore a profit and return some of that profit to their shareholders and continue to do it year after year. And what are they working on every year? How to get better at it. So no wonder that that keeps going up and to the right. So people are doing that and we don't even need to work for those companies. We don't even need to understand it. We can deploy some funds and invest in their skill set over years. And humans always win because they're fucking weapons. So therefore they work for companies and then the companies do better. The stock market does better. And that is why, because they are smart and they know what they're doing. And yes, some will fail because we're not perfect, but, and there are cycles to business and things like that. But over the long term, that's why those trends are up and to the right, because they are trying to do this, get money off the consumer and create a profit. It's just how the world works. So why will we not invest into some of that? Before we go, know this. If you're in business, know that you're competing with this level of thinking and sophistication too. You know, I'm in business, so I have to actually think about this stuff. I'm like, shit, you know. Yeah, do other accounting firms have consumer buying behavior trend analysis? You know, we started from nothing, so we don't know when's the time to do marketing, what's the marketing's push to do, what sort of wording do we use at what time of the year. And then bigger companies have access to different forms of data and AI and psychologists and things. So, you know, it's very important if you are in business to know that this is the level that you are competing with and what's going on out there with some of these bigger competitors that you know might be up against, because if they're doing it, you might not be. Who's going to win the market share? Now, if you're a consumer, as we all are, know that it is happening to you everywhere you shop. Everywhere is trying to upsell us, especially when, you know, the economy is tricky and stuff. They want, if you're going to come through the door, then they're going to want you to spend the most that they can get out of you before you leave. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that in business, it's normally easier to get someone who's already transacted with you to transact again than it is to get a stranger to transact, because you've already signaled your trust in that business by saying, yep, I trust this business. I've given them my credit card details, for instance. I know that they add value. So if they offer you something else, you don't have to be like, oh, I'm skeptical, man. I don't know about these. I've never used them before. You don't have any of that thinking, right? So you're just into like, oh, okay, yeah, if you want to bolt it on, yeah, chuck it in the cart. I will pay for that, add it on. So, you know, think about that it's going to be happening, especially as businesses are striving to remain profitable and to keep their head above water and keep going into these tough economic times. So it is happening to all of us as consumers. But once we know better, we do better, right? So if we can see this stuff and we can go, maybe I know what's going on here. This is an upsell. Do I really need that? You know, maybe not. And I was about to plant $20 into that upsell. Instead, I might move $20 to Sharesies or whatever you use, or even your KiwiSaver, and just go, bang, I'm going to deploy that $20 because I was going to spend it and I know I don't really need that. I don't need to consume. So I'm going to invest it. I'm going to stack it. And you might even stack it off into a savings account and build it up. So just think about that. And this is what this lesson is designed to get you thinking about. Now, finally, would you like fries with that? There you go. You've been in front of and seen upsells your whole life. So eyes open. You're one of over 10,000 recipients of this email. If you receive the email, 6,000 subscribers on LinkedIn now too. The KTC podcast hit 1 million downloads in April. More on that next week. Feel free to share a lesson with someone that would mean the world to me. Did you know consumers reported to be in arrears in March 2024 increased to 12.7%? of the credit active population. This is up from 12.45% in February 2024. Now, I think it's down actually from a high, but Centrix data tracks this every month. But basically, from February to March, more people are in arrears and behind on their credit. So, not a good sign, something that we'll keep an eye on throughout the year as well. Be good out there, and I will see you next week when we are in week number 408. Because we've done, 408, geez, that's in the future, 208 episodes, which is four lots of 52. That is some effort. And there's a lot to talk about next week as well. So I'm looking forward to that. See you then. Make sure you don't miss it.